People do say it with flowers. They appeared on All Saints' Day, white chrysanthemums and yellow, crowded cemeteries, tears and smiles of remembrance. They started to appear in the UK, poppies for remembrance, invitations to Veve and Remembrance Sunday services in preparation. November, the remembering month, not forgetting, remember, the 5th of November, a bad night for dogs. But some things you just must not forget. Special days, a wedding anniversary, a birthday. Special times in history, like Remembrance Sunday, VJ Day, Independence Day, Thanksgiving Day. Some things you must not forget. Special people, influences, people who loved us. Good memories, precious memories. They make us who we are. Those rememberings remind us that we're not the whole story. Here and now is not the whole story. The people of the Bible loved the past and held it close to their heart. The places and the people that had shaped their destiny, forged their nationhood. They had written accounts of those times that were read and rejoiced over. They had rituals that revisited crucial moments and turning points in their past, reminded them of the giants of history whose contribution must never be forgotten, the fathers of the faith, the prophets and the priests, who had engraved their wisdom, their truth, their vision into the very heart of the people. These must not be allowed to drift into the collective forgetfulness of the nation's story, for without them there would be no nation, there would be no story. So each year, among other things, they would celebrate the festival of the Passover, recapturing the deliverance from slavery in Egypt, complete with a symbolic meal and the loins girt for hurried escape. You don't forget who you are when these kinds of rituals are written into the family folklore with indelible clarity. That was a pretty bold statement in Exodus, that this would be a perpetual festival, celebrated forever. In 1451 BC, an enslaved people, risking everything in one bold act of defiance, the Exodus, for them it was pretty optimistic to think they might still be celebrating the Passover 4,000 years of turbulent history later. Any festival of religious rite that dates back 4 millennia or so, any symbol so resilient and enduring and showing no signs of disappearing, deserves the close attention of those with inquiring minds. Symbols come and go, slogans and buzzwords fade into oblivion, but the Passover meal of the Jews remains. Indeed, so rooted is Passover imagery in the thought of the Bible that we can't really enjoy the full richness of the biblical revelation until we've given some thought and time to peeling away the layers of meaning from the Passover event and its subsequent place in Jewish life. And the first thing to note as we try to understand the dynamic at work is this, that family is the unit of faith. The Jewish parents and children share in a sense of identity, a common deliverance as they gather around the Passover table and rehearse the story. The children ask the pertinent questions that define identity. And there's no embarrassment in the Hebrew home, no awkwardness about being a people of faith, about being a family in which faith is rooted and grounded, indeed is the root and is the ground. The faith, the religiosity of the parents set the tone. Look, this is who we are. This is what makes us who we are. This is what we do. And the example of the parents is carried out through the ritual of the Passover, crucial to its continuance as a feature of Jewish religious life and practice. The Jewish father is not ashamed to let his children see him pray. The Passover is a family event. But it's also clear from these earliest accounts that the Passover feast is a community act as well, as the whole family of Israel worship and give thanks for their deliverance. They share a sense of their oneness in their identity as the people of God, saved by his mighty act and bonded for all time by their common debt to him. A remarkable, heartwarming feeling of sharing in a common destiny and salvation. And year in, year out, these events will be recalled, vividly represented, as the symbolism shouts out generation upon generation, God has saved Israel. That night we became a people. That night of the Exodus from Egypt. And so through the centuries, right up to this day, Jewish families have looked down the tunnel of time and been at one with Jews on that first dark Passover night. Now, coming to the narrative as we do from a Christian standpoint, we can't read about the Jewish Passover, that feast of remembrance, without being drawn ourselves to that upper room where our Lord adds the final touch to its meaning and inaugurates our special meal. For the communion service is our feast of remembrance. We place at the core of our reflective life of faith the powerful symbolism of remembrance that is the Lord's Supper, of the essence of connection, taking us back to the very beating heart of our faith. For whatever else it offers, the central act in the rite of communion is remembering. Jesus said, "Do this to remember me," an act of mindfulness, of paying attention to something that we might otherwise forget or lose. That's how they define remembering. One writer describes it in these terms: "For me, participation in the communion is a wake-up call, a reminder that I easily fall asleep on the inside. It may seem strange, but a pinch of bread and a sip of wine in the company of friends and fellow travellers reconnect me with all that I love and admire about the person of Jesus and rekindle my commitment to follow in his way." In the communion sacrament, we enjoy a glimpse of our link with the past, our solidarity with those disciples at the Last Supper, the church of the Acts of the Apostles, beginning to shake the world to its foundations, meeting every Sunday, gathered round the Lord's table. The Covenanters on the hillsides of Scotland, the missionaries in the jungles and deserts of Africa and India, Christians of all times in all places, 2,000 years of faith, devotion, courage and service, and our little link being added to the chain. And it comes alive in our present day fellowship, within the community of the church across the world, made present especially in Geneva in our rainbow connections and global congregations. When we meet at the table, it's the international table, people from China and Japan and South Korea and Australia and Africa and Europe, people of every shape and shade, but kneeling together in our hearts in the Christian community worldwide to receive bread and wine, one in gratitude, one in need, one in hope, one in love. And from within that fellowship, that marvellous fellowship, to hold fast to the story of faith. And we at the same time look forward to that day when it's all wrapped up, this crazy miracle we call history, the agony and the ecstasy of the human story. We will sit with him and with all his people and share in the riotous assembly of his great banquet, knowing as we have never known before the meaning of communion. Communion, this sacred remembering of crucial truths, brings it right up to the door of our heart. For God's people, our people, have been there taking bread and wine, celebrating the miracles of grace and love from the very start, right up until now. And when we go on Sunday and take bread and wine, what we will do is of the essence, is all about who we think we are, glad that we are his church, and that he is our Lord, who said, "This do in remembrance of me." Remembering is important.